the taking and the refining always starts with the house of God, the men of God, the women of God. And I've been shaken. Anybody else been shaken? Been shaken. And but yet I see God's goodness in it. And I really do believe, in fact, I'm convinced of it, that the Lord is preparing people for this next season of church life and ministry. I have to believe it. Now, this isn't based on my own merit, because I'm not smart enough or talented enough to do what I believe the Lord is calling the church to do. You know, every one of us has to be real. You don't got it. You know, there is no superstar in this room. Really not. And there is no magic formula. I don't care what school of faith you went to. Because just the time you think the fish are on this side of the boat, God's going to say, psych. And you're going to have to put them on the other side of the boat. That kind of goes with the way God works. And the reason being is because your book and formula for how God moves is not going to get the glory. That's why I'm a slow, like, bandwagon jumper. You know, when all these moves happen, I'm slow. Not because I'm skeptical of the things of the Lord. I just don't like Herodianism. That's a fancy word to say we create superstars in the American church world. That is evil, like the devil. So really what I'm excited about are the nobodies. The insignificant no names that no one will ever read a book from, that no one would ever think God would do anything great through. I am excited about the unskilled, unlearned, untrained fishermen, so to speak, that found a relationship with Jesus. God shapes their heart, and God changes the world through ordinary vessels. Now, in order to do that, we have to be confident that he is good, even when all the world is falling apart. I told you in this series of gifts, this is a series to lay the foundation or the groundwork for the next thing God is doing in the church. I said more than I even knew in that statement. I didn't understand that statement. I still really don't get all of it, but I'm saying it. And here's what I do know. I believe we have to be convinced that God is in control, he is good, and he is giving good things to America right now through all the shaking. But even to my life and into your life, don't curse away the pressure. Don't curse it away. Come on, don't curse it away and say, I bind that pressure. No! The Bible teaches to rejoice in the trial because it does something for you. This trial you are in is a servant to you. It is a gift to you. This is so good. But if we don't believe that God is good, then we have reason to doubt his motives and his methods. But man, I have to tell my heart and my soul. You ever talk to yourself? Self-talk? Self? Believe that the Lord loves you still. But I don't... Self? The Lord loves you. But the... Self? Man, you know? And then you just put your heart on the Lord. And I believe that this is the day that the Lord has made. That means victory has been wrapped up for every single person in this room. You're going to see some victory in your life. Don't get distracted with the package it comes in. Amen? Amen. And then the next message. We have to give and receive mercy. You have to be a giver. God is a giver. The only taker in the universe is Satan himself. And he works through people just like God works through people. And you can't allow the enemy to take from you. Don't let your own thoughts take what God has given you. So you've got to capture your thoughts, amen? Amen? And stop those evil thoughts that take the promises of God or the truth of God from you. Amen. You have to be bold in that. And it doesn't matter what your eyes see. It doesn't. This is so refreshing. You know, and it's all based on mercy. God is a holy God. That's his first revelation of himself. I am holy. He has to say that to scare the snot out of us. So that when he says, but I'm not going to treat you as your sins deserve, we taste the sweetness of mercy. And that is the basis for relating with God. His mercies are new every morning. That means everything he's going to do through you and in you is based on mercy, not merit, mercy. From salvation to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Every gift that God is giving you, you can't earn. You just have to submit to it and receive it. That means submit yourself to it, lay yourself down, die to self, and receive whatever God is wanting to do through you or in you by mercy. Now, this removes all basis for boasting. This removes all basis for fear. Because, you know, if it's not about you, then you don't have to be afraid, right? Can't get amen? That's so good. And God's mercies are new every morning. Now, if you can receive mercy for yourself, it is proven in giving mercy to someone else. God has told us in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm sorry, this is just the preface to why I asked Sarah Pevlor to preach today. So this is just the precursor to the message. God has got a special package wrapped up and a gift for you. Now, we all like this package, though. This is Sarah, so it's easy to like this one. But the gift that God's got for you today is very powerful. I don't want you to miss it. If we fail to give others mercy, then what we do is we cut God off from giving us the things he wants to give us. Your prayers are hindered if you are unforgiving and bitter towards your spouse. God's not hearing your prayers. I don't care how much scripture you quote at him. He just goes. He just does. Why? Because you are not merciful. And in church, almost choked up here because this is so good. If it's all about you, but you can't get along with everybody else in the room, I don't care if you hear a vision or have a word. It's a clanging gong. It's a resounding gong, 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 gong. I don't care if you're quoting scripture up and down. So the whole test is, can you give mercy just as well as you want to receive it?
I'm honest. I don't always give it the same way that I receive it. How many can say you're like me a little bit like that?
Thank you for that, Sarah. No one else is, but you are. That's awesome. Thank you. And but I know that as we step into this next season, we have to make it our goal to be merciful and give that mercy. Amen? Just as much as we receive it, I want to give it. Now give it to yourself. Give it to other people. Give that mercy. And now I want to ask you to open up your hearts today, because I believe that part of what God's got in store with Sarah, the reason I asked her is because she's been through something. She has a package that she's been through. And I want to prove to the devil that he's a liar. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us in Revelations that we defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. That's all the mercies and the grace of God, but by the word of our testimony. It is true. And I'll tell you, there is nothing more visceral and tangible in our Christian life than what you will feel the minute you think you are about to testify or share or witness or stand up and draw attention to God. Not you, not your smarts, but draw attention to God and just dismantle the lies of the enemy. You feel nerves, you feel distractions, you feel every excuse under the sun. Why? Because you are about the work of the kingdom. You're standing on the platform and you're lifting up Jesus. That's going to draw people to God, and that's going to tell the devil he's a liar and remind him that he's already been defeated. And this is something that is so powerful because it opens up faith to receive more. And when I look out at our church and visitors and stuff like that, I just know this from coast to coast in America. The church in America has got to stand up and start testifying more than ever before. And I couldn't think of a better way to do it than for the pastor to just shut up and tap someone else. I could have tapped somebody else in the room, but I had to tap Sarah and say, Sarah, testify. Come on. So, without any further delay, would you welcome Sarah?
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, God is so good. And Pastor Ben, like, you, like, stole half of my notes. That must mean I've been listening very closely to your messages. I am just so blessed to be here and to get the opportunity to share with you today. This has been... Well, maybe if I just cry now, we'll get through the rest of it and be okay. This has been an amazing year. An amazing year in things that I didn't want. But through those things, amazing in the things that I am receiving. You know, there's a lot of things that can be said about the year 2020. At the end of last year, you know, I'm always praying for the year before once we kind of get to December. And I remember telling Tricia, I can't, it's like I'm getting nothing good. You know, I'm hearing nothing good from God about next year. And I'm glad I didn't know what this year was going to hold because I would have been fighting it all the way. But for all of the things that we can say about this year, about COVID, about everything else that is going crazy in this world, you know, if we're going to say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, then we have to say, this is the year that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. So many times I have said, I'll be so glad when this year is over. And then I realized, wait, this is still a gift. Every day that we have is a gift from God. It is His grace and His mercy to us to do what He has called us to do on this earth. And we can't take that for granted. So I'm Sarah. Pastor Ben introduced me. And I want to share some of what happened this year to me with you. In hopes of encouraging you, stirring up your faith, and letting you know that faith is a battle and you have to fight it. Amen. To hold on to it, you have to fight. So let me start with a little bit of my story. And I'll start on just this random Tuesday this year, July 14th. It was a normal day. I got up. I read my Bible and got ready. I went to work, told my cat I'd be home at the normal time because that's what I do. I always talk to my cat on my way out the door. So it's like, Lola, I'll be home at regular time tonight. See you later. Went to work, got out of work a little bit late that day, talking to Bill on my way home. Like, could you please preheat the oven, honey? We're going to have fish. And as soon as I get home, I'll get it all prepared and we'll get it in the oven and we'll get dinner ready. So that was all good. That was going just like any other day. And then on my drive home, there was an intersection. Well, there's lots of intersections. There's one specific one where I couldn't see that road. There were there was a cornfield, there were trees, there was a house. And unbeknownst to me, there was a little red SUV that decided that even though there were two stop signs at the end of that road, that they weren't going to stop. Didn't stop, and we hit, and basically the rest of the stuff that I'm going to tell you for like the next 4 days is stuff that I've been told because I don't remember any of it. I don't remember the accident. I don't remember anything. It was not a good accident. It was a bad accident, and So that was my little car that I loved that I had just paid off the month before. And so I was in there with this wonderful first responder named Carl, who I got to meet, who, even though I didn't remember anything about the accident, as soon as I saw his face, I knew that I knew him. And I knew his voice, and his voice was very comforting to me when he came to visit me, him and a couple of the other gals that were there. And I'm so blessed by them. And I told him, in all honesty, I never really thought about first responders. Didn't cross my mind. Today, I pray for them every day. They are a blessing from God, and I am so grateful to him. So I was in there for about 20 minutes, I guess. They got me out, put me on the stretcher thing that blows up. It's like a splint, almost like a full body thing, and it kind of blows up and just holds you in place. They put me in the helicopter, flew me to Aurora. I don't even remember the helicopter ride. I have a shirt from Eagle 3, but I don't remember the helicopter ride. So anyway, yeah, that's the front. It all looks good from the back, but that was the front. So they got me to the hospital. And the reason I'm sharing all of this is because I want you to understand the gravity of me standing here right now. Because if you don't know the background, you don't appreciate this. You know, I can remember always thinking, man, I wish I had a really great testimony. Well, I do. Be careful about that. But, you know, it's amazing that I lived through that. And the injuries I had, I had this big gash on my forehead. That was what Bill was the most concerned about, was this big gash on my forehead, just because Bill got to the accident scene just before the first responders. So Bill was the first one to get to me, to say, honey, are you okay? And hear me say, no, was not okay. Yeah, that's me. Anyway, I had multiple fractures in my right femur. I had both bones in my arm were broken. So I now have a rod in my leg. I have two plates in my arm. That was the beginning. So that was on Tuesday evening. And on Thursday, they did the surgery on my leg. On Friday, they did the surgery on my arm. There were some issues after that surgery. And Bill had taken a picture of me on a breathing machine to send to my sister-in-law, who is an ER doctor, and say, is this normal? Is this what happens after a surgery? To which she said, no, and you need to start asking some questions. But we got through all of that okay, and by the following Tuesday, they were like, you know what, we're ready to send you to rehab. By the way, if you break your leg in multiple places and they put a rod in it, you're going to be standing on that leg in less than 24 hours. Not fun, but they make you do it. You know, a bedpan at that point would have been my best friend. But, you know, it's like, no, we're going to get you up. We're going to, you know, you're going to stand up. At least at the rehab center, they had this thing that went around my arms and lifted me up. In the hospital, I had to pull myself up with one arm. I mean, they kind of helped, but, you know, it felt like it was all me. It was not fun. So anyway, then a week later, I go to this intensive rehab. And intensive was the right word. It was hard work. They wanted me to walk. My leg said no. And I dealt with just feeling kind of like a loser because I couldn't walk. You know, it's like, you can do it. I can't. But anyway, we, you know, worked my way through that. Woke up on that Friday and felt terrible. I was having trouble swallowing. They sent me for a CT scan. Long story short, I ended up back at Aurora on Saturday and had surgery on my intestines because there was seatbelt damage, perforated intestines. They took out a third of my colon and 10 inches of my small intestines. So, and then thankfully that was it. No more surgeries after that. But that kept me in the hospital for a whole nother week. So by the time I finally got to go home, I had been in the hospital and rehab for 18 days. And I never had missed home so much. And in the time that I was at the hospital, I was telling everybody how good God was. And even though this happened, God is still good. God is good. And then I got home, and it got quiet. I didn't have somebody coming in to poke at me or take this vital or that, you know, whatever, every couple of hours. It was quiet, and my mind started actually thinking. Now, I would like to think that it was because of all of the medications that I had had in the hospital that my mind started thinking this way, but I don't believe it was. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But first, I'm going to just tell you guys how much your prayers during that time meant to me. I know we were going through a season in the church where you guys were praying so hard and so much and waiting to see results with Michelle and then with me. And I know that there were, it was hard. I know it had to have been hard to just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. But praise God, we got, Michelle is healed. Amen. I'm still here. You know, never say, I wish there was something to do, but I can just pray. No, the most that you can do is pray. Because when I was, as you know, in Michelle's words, when you're in that pit and you can't see really anything good, you can feel those prayers. It's like God and all of the prayers of the saints lifting you up. And it's so critical. But so I was home, and my mind was going, and I was questioning. If you know, because people would say to me, God really protected you. And I would say back to them, well, if his angels were protecting me, at least one of them was slacking that day. You know, because that's how I felt. I didn't really feel protected. I felt like if God was going to protect me, there would not have been an accident. And then I saw the pictures. It's like, okay, probably God protected me in that. You know, but I was questioning all the things about God's character, his protection. I was questioning his provision. I was questioning his goodness. And it was like, I don't even think God is good. And I share that with you. It's very humbling to share that with you. But I want you to know that it doesn't matter who you are in the church. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. I didn't want to share that with anybody, not even Bill, because I was ashamed. But it wasn't until I actually shared that with someone and I saw that they were not going to be critical and judge me, but that they were just going to love me, that things all of a sudden started to happen. It was like God wanted me to get that out in order for him to start showing me. And I was very quiet one morning, and one of the gifts, and I truly count it as a gift, is music for me. I listen to so much Christian music, more than anything else, because I knew that that would feed me, that would encourage me. And I'm listening one morning, and the song that came on, I'll just start with some of this. It says, it's called Into the Sea. It's going to be okay. And it was, the song starts, my heart is breaking in a way I never thought it could. And that was where I was. My heart was breaking because I had always counted on God to be good. And I was heartbroken believing that he wasn't or questioning that he wasn't. And then the next line is, my mind is racing with the question, are you still good? And says, can you make something from the wreckage? Would you take this heart and make it whole again? And then it goes on, it says, though the mountains may be moved into the sea, and though the ground might crumble beneath and give way, I can hear my Father singing over me. It's going to be okay. And that song ministered so much to me because it was someone else in my position saying, I have questioned this. But you know what? The Father is still singing over me. It's going to be okay. And so I count that as my turnaround. That was what turned me, that got me to say, okay, well, that song says God is still good and it's going to be okay. At that point, I went back to my Bible. I hadn't been in my Bible, didn't feel like God was speaking to me, wasn't hearing anything, and so it's like, what's the point? So I went back to my Bible, and I went to Psalm 34, starting in verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I was like, okay, I know from years and years and years of studying and being in church and receiving good teaching, I know there are facts and there is truth. This is truth. No matter what my circumstances may look like, this was true. God is good. You know, the word is not just for us to read and say we got it read. It has to make a difference in our lives. It has to be who we are. So in those situations where you feel like God isn't speaking to you, or you aren't hearing from him, or why isn't somebody here to help me, the word is there. The Holy Spirit can bring that back. It becomes who you are and gives you everything that you need to be able to fight back and say, I know that God is good. And I will tell you that you don't know that you know that until you have been in the place where you question it. Once you get in that place and you're like, what is going on? You know, God promised us that that the waters would not, how's that go? That he would be with us in the waters, the rivers would not overtake us, and the fires wouldn't burn us, right? Wouldn't even scorch us. But he didn't promise that there wouldn't be water, and there wouldn't be a river, and there wouldn't be fire. Because through all of this and my questioning, and I was ashamed, and I don't even know how else to say it. I was just sad and alone and ashamed because I didn't want to share it with anybody. And I had to fight for the faith that I had always thought that I had. You know, I questioned my faith. Like, man, was I just really good at faking it so that I even had myself psyched out that, you know, I really had faith? But until you really fight for it, you don't know what you've got. And you have to fight. It is a fight. You have to hold on to that and not let anybody take that away. Because the enemy, the first thing that he does is he comes and he begins to question the character of God. That's his very first tactic. If he can get you to believe that God is not good, like he said he was, then he's won the fight. And you can't let him do that. The only way that we lose is if we give up. That's it.
That's right.
That's it. If I hadn't made it through that accident, you know where I'd be right now? Mm-hmm. I'd be with Jesus. That is not a loss. You know, it's not a loss. I'm at a loss because I don't even know where I am in my notes. But that is not a loss. God is good. Okay, well, let's start here. So, God is so good to us that when we come to him with ashes, he gives us beauty. And when we come to him with weakness, he gives us strength. And I still am having to rely on that strength. And I will have to, just like you need to, every day of my life. But there's nothing that brings that quicker to the forefront of your mind than when you need the physical strength to get through every day.
Yep.
You know, I went home, and every day what I had to look forward to was I got to get out of bed. I couldn't even sit up. Bill would have to sit me up. Praise God for a good husband. Took such good care of me. He would sit me up. He would get me into the wheelchair. I would get to wheel to the kitchen and eat my breakfast, which he made me eat a lot of eggs. I don't really like eggs, but they're good protein, and he made me eat a lot of eggs. And then I would get to wheel into the living room, and I would get to wheel here and wheel. That was my day. That was my day, just getting moved from one place to the other. So that gives you a lot of time to think, you know. But God is so good. He can use these physical circumstances to begin to teach us things.
Yep.
And you know, I didn't like this wrapper. It was a stinky t-shirt wrapper. But I'm just beginning to catch little glimpses of the gift that's inside. I don't see it all. I wish I could see what is really in there, in that gift. Because I'm believing for something, as bad as the wrapper was, I'm believing for a gift that's even greater than the badness of the wrapper, if that makes sense. I'm really looking for something amazing. One more song that spoke a lot to me, that I sang a lot. I remember getting a hold of Bill and saying, can you just sit with me and sing this song? It's really kind of just a chorus. And it's Michael W. Smith does it, and it's Surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, and this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles, which is why there was a lot of Christian music going on at home, because that's how I fight my battles. So, as I was in my Bible one day, I was like, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Okay, that's from the Bible. That's in 2 Kings. And so I went to that story, and it's the story of the king of Syria was waging war against king of Israel. But somehow the king of Israel always knew where the Syrians were going to attack. And so, long story short, he finds out that it's Elisha who is telling the king of Israel. So he sends to the city where Elisha is. He sends all of his army and all of these chariots and horses, and they're all surrounded. Elisha's servant wakes up the next morning, and he sees all of this army surrounding them. And he's like, what are we going to do? I can just hear him. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It kind of reminds me. Okay, I'll just say, it kind of reminds me of like in Gone with the Wind, where the little girl is like, I don't know, and she just slaps her. You know, that's how I picture that in my head. What are we going to do? And so Elisha prays for his servant's eyes to be opened. And what does his servant see? He says, there are more with us than there are of them. And he sees all around the mountains these chariots of fire and these horses. But, you know, the servant was afraid, but Elisha prayed. Elisha prayed. And we have got to learn to go to prayer. And we have got to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to show us the invisible realm. We have to see that we are not alone, that there is more with us than against us. Amen. That if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, prayer is the key to us seeing from God's perspective. We can't be focusing on ourselves. If you focus on yourself, everything is distorted. When you're in pain, if you focus on that pain, you can't feel or see anything else. You have got to see outside of yourself.
I'm
going to just read this. This is good. You know, it's really hard. It's easy to say it. But when you're in the middle of it, I will tell you, it is hard. It's not an easy thing. You think you know it. And then when the rubber meets the road, it's a hard thing. But it's a fight we have to fight. We have to keep our faith. If we don't give up, the enemy doesn't win, and he can't win because we know how the story ends. Just like I said, if I didn't survive the accident, I keep looking up there, but it just says Visible Church. If I didn't survive the accident, I would just be with Jesus. Where is the loss in that? It's all good. You know, so that story of Elisha helped solidify my confidence that God is my protector, that he is there with me. I might not be able to see him, but he is always, always with me, because the word tells me that over and over and over, that he will not forsake me. He is going to be with me. And, you know, sometimes we know things in our head, but to get it to our heart, to get it to where it's really a part of us, we have to go through some things. It doesn't just happen. You have to go through some things. But God is good. Now, I didn't know that the accident was coming that day. I would have stayed home. I didn't know. But God did. And he was with me. And he's been to all of my tomorrows. And there is not anything from now until my end of days, there is not anything that God doesn't know. Amen. He always holds me in the palm of his hand. And he knows all of my days. He knows all of the things that are going to happen. And he does the same for you. Yes. In Psalm 139:16, which this has been one of my favorite Psalms for forever, because when I was a young girl, we had missionaries that came and stayed with us, and one night late, she came in to me, and the wife, and she shared this with me, and she said, this is what God wants you to know. And she started in verse 13. Well, I'm not going to go all through that, but mostly verse 14 is what she wanted to know. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But the scripture I'm going to say use is, it's verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So this wasn't a surprise to God. He wasn't up there going, oh man, now this lady hit her. By the way, none of that accident was my fault. I'll just say that right now. I had the right of way. She didn't stop. But he knows all of these things. And God knew I was going to have that accident. And he already had the plan to bring something beautiful from that accident. It was a momentary irritation. In the scheme of life, in all of eternity, it's a momentary irritation. And kind of like an oyster gets a little irritant in there. and starts to cover it over with that stuff that I knew what it was called a couple weeks ago. With that stuff, and all of a sudden there becomes a beautiful pearl. This is going to be the same thing. There will be a beautiful pearl that is going to come out of all of this. Because God is good. Okay, now, one other thing that I want to share with you about that has been a great gift to me from God, and I'm going to go to 1 Peter 1. Let's start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He has begotten us again to a living hope. You know, in a situation, when you're in that situation of, it's hard, it's just a really tough situation, you have the choice to hold on and fight for faith and in hope believe, or you can just let it all crumble beneath your feet and just be done. I had lots and lots and lots of people tell me through the whole course of these events, you're just such a strong person. What choice do you have? You know, you're just so strong. You're working. You're doing your therapy. Like, what choice do I? If I ever want to get out of this chair, I have got to do the work. Right? The physical teaches us a lot of things about the spiritual. Yes. And if I wanted to get up and out of that pit and not be having a pity party for myself, I had to take hold of faith. I had to believe what I had been teaching for years. Now, hope, let me give you this. Hope is not an optimistic outlook or wishful thinking without any foundation. It is the sense of confident expectation based on solid certainty, and it rests on God's promises. Which is exactly why the enemy comes to you and makes you start questioning the character of God, because if he can make you question the character of God, then you're going to lose hope. And if you don't have hope, what are you going to fight for?
Yeah.
So you have got to hold on to hope. Jesus, it says, is our living hope. And we have to know him and who he is and what he's done and have that hope in him. You know, life is unpredictable. But God is still in control. The one thing, in the whole time I was in the hospital, in rehab, in the hospital, the only things that I heard God speak to me, the Holy Spirit speak to me, two words, but God. But God. The chaplain came in to talk to me. He's like, so what is God telling you through all of this? I'm like, but God. That's all I got, but God. But you know, when you think about it, I mean, but God. But God. You know, God, life is unpredictable. We don't know the number of our days. God does. We don't know the number of everybody else's days. Which is why it's so important for us to continue in that relationship with Jesus, to continue to grow, and to continue to share. You might be the last person that speaks something into somebody's life. Don't let it be grumbling and complaining. Let it be life-giving. Let it bring glory to God. Isn't that what we're here for? To bring glory to God. Let every day do that in your life. No matter what the circumstances or the wrapper may look like, he never changes. God never, ever changes. So, you know, if you're in a place that you don't understand right now, and you feel like God isn't with you, or you're questioning his goodness and his plan, I'm here to encourage you to fight. Fight for your faith. It's one of the greatest gifts he has given to us. But there are times that we have to fight to hold on to it. Don't give up. Don't give up. My goodness, don't give up. You've got to fight. And when you're feeling like, I don't know if I can fight this by myself, then find somebody to fight with you. Find somebody to fight with you. And sometimes, you know, you just have to get your eyes off of yourself. I had spent so much time praying for me. God heal this, God heal that. You know, I got this thing with my leg and I got my arm. And, you know, please pray for somebody else. It gets your focus off of you. I spent a bazoodle of time praying for Michelle because she was the one that came to my mind all the time. It's like, who am I going to pray for? Pray for Michelle. And so when I got the phone call the day that said, Michelle's body said she never really had, you know, didn't have cancer. It's all, there are no markers. It's all, she's good. I was like, oh my gosh. And I cried and I cried and I cried because I knew God is good. God is good. So, you know, remind yourself of that. Or other instances in the Bible where people were up against a wall. They were tired, they were weary, and they couldn't see a way out. But God. But God. The Red Sea? What were they going to do? It's the Red Sea in front of them. Pharaoh and his armies behind them. But God made a way. Or the three Hebrew children. They get thrown into the furnace. They should have, like, just immediately. No, but God was in there with them. Amen. And Elijah at Mount Carmel, when he is praying fire down, I mean, he's making fun of all these other prophets and stuff. But God sent the fire down and took the offering and licked up all the water. But God. And Jesus in the tomb, if there was ever a day that looked dark and there was going to be no good thing come of it, Jesus dies on the cross. They lay him in the tomb, roll the stone in front of it. The end. No, but God. Amen. But God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that that same power that raised Jesus from the grave resides in you. Yes. In you. Yes. In me. In you. I mean, you can't get... There is nothing greater than that. I'll just tell you right now, there's nothing greater than that. So, what I want to say at the end of this is that if you're in that place right now, that hard, hard place, I'm so glad you're here. Because during a lot of that time, I couldn't be here. But this is the place to be. And what I want you to do is as we, I'm finishing, so whoever's coming up.
Thanks for the cue there.
When I say I'm getting close to the end, it's really, really true. So, but... I love you, Pastor Ben. But if you're in that place right now where it's really hard and it's dark and you feel like you don't know what to do, you don't know how to fight, or you just want somebody to fight with you, then I would just say, come on down here. Let us pray. Michelle's here. I can't think of anybody better to pray for you than Michelle. You know, don't underestimate what God can do in your situation. Don't underestimate him. He is so much bigger and so much better than we can ever think or imagine. So I just want to finish. I want to pray. And I want, if you're in that place and you want somebody to fight with you, I just want you to come down and let us pray for you. God, I just give you glory for all that you have done. all that you have brought me through, Father God, all that you have brought so many others through. God, you are good beyond what we can imagine. God, you never change. You're always with us. You are our protector. You provide for us in ways that we would never have thought of. And God, you love us, and that never changes. It never changes. God, I pray that for each person here today, that you use these words to strengthen them, God, to encourage them to fight, to hold on to that faith in who you are. God, we love you because of who you are, not because of what you can do, but because of who you are. You loved us first, and we thank you, and we are so eternally grateful to you for all you have done. Jesus, there aren't words to express the gratitude that we have for you. God, we just bring glory to your name, give you thanks. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. If you want prayer, come on down. There are people. There are people. We'll pray. We would be so glad to pray for you, with you. But other than that, go and have a great week. Remember, every day is a gift from God. Use it. Use it for His glory, not for your own selfishness, for His glory. Amen.